Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. From author Michael Yarbrough, the critically acclaimed erotic satire on politics of all kinds, The Tales of Ronsan, or An American in Nagoya. The Japanese statesman attempts to rule by consensus in accord with the Confucian ideal of harmony. When the consensus breaks down, he must meet with the factions to develop a new one. Ron is a male courtesan. For host clubs in Japan, when his wife of convenience breaks with the consensus, he must meet with her and the other faction, so to speak, to reestablish harmony. Michael lived in Japan for 6 years as an English teacher. He had his adventures, his sense of fun as well. Michael Yarbrough, author of The Tales of Ronsan, joining us right here on This Week in America from his outdoor location. Michael, first of all, welcome to the program. Tell us where we see a lot of water behind you. Where are you?
I guess I can tell you, because people come down all the time, my financial advisor helps to organize the Baja Rally, a race down here. It's in Baja, California, at a fishing village called Arindara. And, yeah, I'm right on the beach there.
What a place to live. It really looks good. The video version of this, by the way, is up on our YouTube channel. You go to our website, link on to videos, or just go to YouTube for This Week in America. It really looks good. Ron's outside and enjoying some of the nice weather down there. The book is doing so well, receiving excellent reviews. I mentioned you lived in Japan for a while. What was the inspiration for writing this book, this particular story? Where'd this come from?
Oh, my contract at the second job was coming near to an end, and I always got nervous about whether I could get another job. I got a much better job. That's the dog.
The dog's in the background. You got an ideal location and dogs there to protect you.
Messing things up.
No.
But anyway,
not a problem.
Anyway, I looked at the Lonely Planet guide and saw something about host clubs. And I was wondering what my life would be like if I did that. And my girlfriend at the time found an actual host club for me to go to. But I had so little money because I was getting the first time I was going there. No, it was after the first job, I was thinking. Not the second job, the first job. That's it. And I had so little money, I couldn't afford the 10,000 yen just to buy a drink.
Wow.
And also, I would have to get back to the suburb on the train. And so anyway, that one thing led to another. And what I didn't know at the time was that girlfriend, without my knowledge, I was already involved in something that was as strange as anything in that book. And it would be about a year and a half before I figured it out.
Wow.
I can't talk about it.
Okay, well, yeah, and I can understand that. And strange things happen in the book, The Tales of Ronsan by Michael Yarbrough, our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon, the usual places. So when I say that you had some adventures, you've had some adventures, you sort of chronicle some of those adventures, and you had a sense of fun along the way there as well. Describe the setting in the book, The Tales of Ronsan, for people who are not familiar with Japan and the areas you're talking about. What's the setting for the book?
Well, it's in Nagoya. And see, there's a tradition in Japanese literature, the tales of. And like the tales of Genji or tales of something else. And then we have an American tradition, you know, the American in Paris.
Oh, yes.
So I put it together. And the settings otherwise are in his host club. And at his house, but also in San Francisco. The wife of convenience, Aoi, that's in a story called Aoi in Wonderland. She's bisexual without knowing it. And yes, there is an autobiographical link. I'm not bisexual, but I believe that girlfriend was. No problem. I had no problems with it. But
the plot thickens here.
That's listed. Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about. That's strange about it. That you're not going to hear. The bisexuality, I don't care. I was involved with that without knowing yet all what I was involved in. I have no regrets. but anyway, the reason I have no regrets is because it shattered my certainties. The older you get, the harder it is to learn anything. And you're usually just learning where to hide.
Exactly.
But this time I really learned something. It doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to make sense. That's an education.
Well, it is. Not everything fits together neatly, does it?
No.
We sometimes
just shattered my certainties.
Well, yes.
I'm grateful for it.
Well, and we all can sort of vicariously live all of these adventures that either happened or happened in the mind of our guest on the program, Michael Yarbrough. If you're Googling that, that's Yarbrough. The book is The Tales of Ron Son or An American in Nagoya, N-A-G-O-Y-A. Do that again, N-A-G-O-Y-A. Let's talk about themes in the book. Is there a theme that sort of ties all of this together?
Yeah, I would call it order against chaos or civilization against barbarism. The reestablishment of a humane order.
Interesting, and it all sort of unfolds as you're reading the book. If you had to go back, do two things. I'm going to do this with the story and in real life and go back to Japan in those circumstances. Would you change anything in the way you wrote the book? Maybe a little change, giving it thought after you're getting published and you're getting feedback, or your experiences that led to writing the book. Would you change anything?
No. The only thing's missing. I left after 6 years. If I'd stayed 8 years or something, there might be 5 or 6 stories there. That would be the change. But I really needed it because part of that, the middle story, I finished it up actually in San Francisco, and it really was a struggle to try and get back into that mindset because the reality of America is so, so different from Japan. It was fast fading because of, you know, the daily life in San Francisco. I was trying to establish myself there.
I'm sure totally different.
So different.
Yeah.
I could not have written another story. That mindset that I was in, the way I was worked in that society was fading. I was already back in America.
It's sort of interesting because sometimes we want to go back in time and you try to relive that and it's just not the same, is it? When you go back and try to do that, either you physically go back and try to do it or mentally you go back there and think, what this experience I can relive, and it's just difficult to do again, isn't it? I mean, and that was your story.
Listen, over there.
Yes.
You don't hustle a woman. She hustles you. And you entice them to do it, which is cool. but you don't do it so well when you're 69. And if I ever get over there, I'll be quite a bit older.
Yeah, maybe they've got...
The way it is, if you go, it's another time. Every dog has his day.
Well, yeah. So it's memories now rather than going back and reliving. Although, do they have host clubs for seniors over there?
Yes, but I would want 3 weeks there just to go look at all the great art. I love those temples. I love the art museums. That first girlfriend was we went to art museums all the time. And the aesthetics, I love Japanese aesthetics.
So that was a great time of your life. And, you know, it's interesting as you read and understand some of this is sort of experiences that you had, other stuff you've got, Ron, having other experiences. How much would you have liked to have lived the life? Would you like to have been Ron's son?
No, I'm actually almost a romantic extremist. I mean, by that, I mean, I said to somebody around here, I said, my idea was, give me the love of my life or give me decadence. And I said, one out of two isn't great, but it could be pretty good.
Yes.
I mean, I don't mean I didn't care for these women, but I'm not just looking for sex. I mean, that was never true. One of the best friends of my life was someone 5 years older than me. I had designs on her when I was almost 18. She was 5 years older. I didn't have any social skills coming out of a very bad adolescence, except when I did. I got her into my life. We weren't just nothing. She's a good-looking woman. I definitely had my eye on her, and I did get her into my life. We were so different. We could be platonic friends. I can say, well, I was on the lawn with her, 18. I thought, if I know her for 1,000 years, I'll never fall in love with her. But if I don't jump her for sex, I can have a great friend. And I did. It's one of the two best friendships I've ever known. So
interesting.
Those are my priorities.
Michael Yarbrough, our guest on the program, that's Yarbrough, author of the book, The Tales of Ronsan or An American in Nagoya. The book is available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. Do you miss those days back there, the women, all of the experiences? Japan, you're talking about the beauty with the museums and the art over there. Do you miss those times?
Yes, but of course, as far as the books, I don't read them anywhere. I read The Tale of Genji this past year. That's my favorite novel. And that I don't need to be in Japan for. And there are art books. Those help.
Yes.
But, you know, you can be anywhere for literature and things.
Would you like to go back to Japan? If somebody says, Michael, we've got this great gig for you, we'd like you to go back and relocate in Japan for 6 months or a year, would you like to live in Japan again?
If I didn't have dogs to take care of for a month, I mean, for a year, just a short year, it's just a light job and a paid vacation, a working vacation. Yeah, not the hard work I used to do. My eyes are not strong enough really to be correcting too many papers. I can read and I can write, but I don't have the endurance that I once did.
So just
I can't do close work.
It's back to Japan for the experiences rather than the actual physical labor and the job there. You know, in the book, the Tales of Ronsan, there are no other foreigners in your book. Why is that?
I don't really like the foreign scene that I experienced. Now, maybe if I'd been in Tokyo is supposed to be a very different place. And if you're in your 20s, you go to Roppongi and you have plenty of money, you'll have fun. But you see, at least most of the foreigners I knew were other teachers. And it's a very closed off, super marginal scene, too conservative. I'm a plain clothes bohemian. That's not what most of them are. But even so, they're so marginal. It's like a bunch of beetles crawling up a jar, talking to each other about what's inside the jar. That's not the way to live in a society. I wanted to get in the guts of the place.
Yep, yes.
And not only that, the life is otherwise so sedate. What do you do for catharsis? I know what to do for catharsis.
You've got
but it isn't those other teachers.
Well, you've got such a unique perspective. What are your thoughts on family life? You know, do you have any children? Do you want children? I get the impression you're sort of like enjoying your life and some freedom in your life. What's your life like, and would you like a family?
I love children. In Singapore, I taught them for 6 years. It's the only time teaching children has been at the center of my life. And I did not have a lurid love life. I mean, I went out with women, but it wasn't. It was quite different. I actually found myself, my mother has won. My mother was not amorous. And part of my thing is fighting that in myself. And I did. But not over there, because I was in my 50s, late 50s. But if a married woman wanted me, I would not have had an affair with a married woman when I was around small children like that. They were the center of my life. I mean, that sounds corny, but I told myself, mom is one.
Yes.
Mom is one. And I didn't want it that way, but mom is one. So I've got these romantic extremes, but I was always a super, super individualist. Messed up my adolescence like that, but I went to church alone. I was the only one in my family who was baptized. I went to church at 12, and that's inner-directed individualism. Most people who go to church are outer-directed. They're conformist. and I set my own direction. But yeah, I actually have a poem to one of my kids. When I was in Japan, I couldn't write poetry, but later I could. And this is a poem that a poetry professor, a friend of mine, he's retired now, but he likes it. It's called a triolet. It's only about, it's 8 lines. May I read it?
Oh, please. Yeah, I was just going to say that. Share that with us.
Okay. Let me first say, without giving details, I was made to understand that this 5-year-old girl had serious problems with her mother, but her father adored her. So here it is. It's called Oh Daddy. This form is called a triolet. Okay. Oh Daddy, lay a twig on our nest. The mummy's not here. Let's not flee. With you, I'll not be just a guest. Oh Daddy, lay a twig on our nest. Cradle soothing with love and rest and dreams of who later will love me. Oh, Daddy, lay a twig on our nest. Mummy's not here. Let's not flee.
So well done. And I believe that's the poem that the retired professor was really impressed with. With your poetry, you do such a nice job with prose and poetry. What are you working on now? Because you're very talented in both those areas.
Oh, well, I did the finishing touches on a screenplay that was an enlargement of a 22-page laissez drama. You know, it's a drama meant to be read. It had to have been that way because it's footnotes. It was originally an exercise in preparation for a novel I wanted to write. That became the poem, but they're footnotes that are distracting. You can write for 22 pages, but to turn it into a screenplay, I had to greatly expand it. So I've got other characters in it. And at first I was just bored when I was just bored by just lifting off of the poem. I was bored, but then when I started inventing, and I had earlier ideas about where that novel would have gone, and I found I put life into it, and I was inventing characters, and things were happening, and I got pretty excited about the new inventions. It's a screenplay that, if they ever really start making large-scale movies again, I could submit it, but I don't know how popular it would be. I'm not a Muslim or even a potential Muslim. I'm an agnostic. And I'm fascinated by the Eastern Mediterranean in the late 7th century. So I've got a renegade Christian who becomes a Muslim of convenience. And there's a complicated marriage with a Persian woman she's doing a lot of things out of convenience too. Anyway, okay. It's all historical. And then there's that story is told with that of the emperor, Heraclius, who's kind of like a second Alexander the Great, and also his empress and niece, Martina. He married his niece, and she's a very strong figure in that. And that's that much is factual. So that started as a poem, but part of it's prose and that. And a little tinkering. I finished that. I'm really shopping around for another project, but I got to orient myself in the present situation. And I'll be glad when this election's over.
I think everybody will be glad when the election's over. And I'm so excited that you're working on new things, and hopefully we'll have a chance to experience those and to talk about those. The time has gone by so quickly. The book by Michael is The Tales of Ron Sun, and you'll find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. If you're looking, Michael Yarbrough is Yarbrough. Gave us a little shot of what it's like to live in, I'm going to call it paradise, because anytime you're close to water like that, it is paradise, and that's where Michael is right now. I'll take 30 seconds here at the end. What do you hope we take away from reading your book, The Tales of Ron Sun? Just enjoy the story, or is it going to get us thinking as well?
Well, it's deliberately provocative. I mean, yes. There are people who get women might feel threatened that he's putting down young women and all that, but I deliberately, it's deliberately off-putting and threatening, because I think once it turns that corner, it intensifies the catharsis and the humor. That's what I go for. So often is I deliberately provoke the reader, and that it's kind of difficult for the reader, but once they get through it, the humor or the catharsis is that much more intense. So you get the opposing extremes.
Yes.
And that's, I respect thinking, feeling, and I hope you have fun.
Yeah. Well, and yeah. I think it'll check all the boxes as you're reading The Tales of Ran San or An American in Nagoya by Michael Yarbrough, our guest on the program. Michael, thank you so much for joining us on the program. Take the rest of the day with the dogs and enjoy life by the water. And thank you for sharing some time with us.
Okay. Hold on, Rick.
Take care.
Have
Michael.
A good day.
You too as well. Michael Yarbrough, author of The Tales of Ran San. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places. Link onto our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and get information on Ron and the book and be able to order it as well. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.